The time to come to the Lord's table is a time to celebrate many gifts, and perhaps this day we should think about the gift of fellowship and discipleship. We're at that season where Christ keeps preparing those who are going to be passed the baton in his absence, the essence of what this whole enterprise is about. And there really are just a few hallmarks of it, you know. The first of all, it is an institution, as you see from the lesson from the book of Revelation, that has at its center the Christ event. In the absence of the Christ event, there is nothing else for us to celebrate. So this isn't one of those things, well, I feel religious about something else. It's the fact that we're here because this particular person is the embodiment of God's promise to ancient people. I'm going to be your covenant God. I'm going to make you a promise. It's like writing a contract. And I'm going to explain to you what it's about. I'm going to, in that contract, give you things that you can't win for yourself. You're not going to live forever, but I'm going to make it so you can. You're going to fall flat on your face in life, but I'm going to be there to pick you up again. In other words, I know you're going to be sinful about things, and if you can just take inventory of who and what you are and say, I'm sorry, I'll wipe the slate clean. And I would like for you to understand that I'm doing this because of what? Because above all things, my very nature is to love those things that I create. No matter how grotesque and distorted they might become because of what life gives you the capacity to do, but because at the essence of things, you originally created to be good. And you always have the property within you that can be restored to good. So my basic nature is to love you. And then that's pretty much it, except the really difficult part. Now I want you to take that same attitude and apply it to each other. Now, of course, that's the reason why we come up here, because that's the part where we always sort of trip and stumble and hem and haw and don't do such a particularly good job of it. But the point is that this is a perpetual kind of promise. It wasn't like you get one shot to make this right. It's okay. Every time you take an inventory of yourself and understand what's going on here, you can begin the process over again. And that's a marvelous thing. Just a marvelous thing. You know, that should fill you with all kinds of joy, fill you with all kinds of hope. And it should also fill us with a certain sense of ambition, see, because there is no fatalism in this. This isn't like the Greeks, you know, with their concept of fate, that certain things are cast and there's not a thing in the world you can do about it. This is the ground of hope. Remember, that's another one of those fundamental principles that we're supposed to believe in. And the hope is what? Well, for Paul and Peter and people like that, for the writer of the Gospel of John, it's the propellant of our faith. Okay? And that's what drives us to come up here, because we believe this. We come up here and celebrate this in the spirit in which it's given, we become what? The beneficiaries of all the promises, as outlandish as they are, that make us immortal and beautiful and lovable. So come to the Lord's table in a spirit of joy and peace and love.